1 200 $ par mois.
Oui, en fait.
Bon, on va peut-être me dire que c'est beaucoup d'argent pour une seule et unique personne. Mais il n'y aurait pas personne qui serait dans la rue, là.
Oui.
Avec 1 200 $ par mois.
Oui, alors je vais prendre une minute pour traduire ce que vous venez de dire, Charles.
Oui.
Alors, Richard has been talking about the fact that he was homeless for 2-3 months and that he was wondering if he was going to be able eventually to find something else, and he eventually did, but that maybe there are, like, some political parties that are not as, you know, neoliberals and that are actually will try and make a difference. And, for example, he's with the Union of the Progressive Forces, which is a more leftist they have more leftist representatives, and actually he was talking about the living wage, like universal living wage, which
right.
is one of the things that they're trying to establish, which is a really interesting idea,
for
like
sure.
a really positive yeah. idea, which is everybody would actually have like a minimum amount of money that they could live by and a minimum amount of money that they could actually like ask for, and then after that, like whatever they make, you know, like they will make over that. So it's a really interesting project, and certainly a positive thing that could happen for our society. Alors merci beaucoup, Richard, de votre intervention.
J'ai une petite addition à rajouter, s'il vous plaît.
Oui, oui.
C'est que il y a un phénomène aussi que lorsque t'es considéré comme une personne sur la sécurité du revenu, appelée aide sociale, si on peut le dire ainsi,
mm-hmm.
il y a une forme de discrimination incroyable. Vous êtes déjà une personne qui est visée. Alors, de suite que vous dites dans votre application pour vous trouver un logement, vous dites que vous êtes prestataire de la sécurité du revenu. Oh mon Dieu, on veut carrément rien savoir. C'est le même type que les minorités visibles. Alors, je dénonce ça là, sur la place publique.
Oui, bien, merci beaucoup, Richard.
Alors, c'est tout.
OK, merci beaucoup, au revoir.
OK, au revoir.
If you're just joining us, we're in the 14th hour of CKUT's second annual National Homelessness Marathon. This is hour 14, last hour. We're talking about positive initiatives here, and we're trying to get in contact with some people around the world who are doing very innovative things in order to help fight homelessness. If you hear traffic and wind, that's because we're outside. Yes, it's about negative 20 degrees Celsius. The sun's just coming up. We've been outside all night. And please listen, and if you'd like to call in to talk to us about a positive initiative, feel free. The number here is 1-866-763-4136, and it is toll-free.
All right, we have Daniel Cross with us, if you're just joining in. He's an award-winning documentary filmmaker from Montreal.
We're actually also going to try. We have a caller from South Africa we've been trying to get through to, so we'll see real quick if he's on the line. Shirza, are you with us?
Hey!
South Africa, are you here? Hello?
Hello.
Hello, is this Shirza?
Yes, this is Shirza.
Hello, nice to finally be speaking with you. We'd like to know more about what your group is doing. We hear you have an anti-eviction group, which is helping people stay under a roof once they have one, and affordable housing areas. Can you please speak more about this?
Yes, I'm in the inner city of Orama. We're fighting over the evictions, water cutoffs, and electricity cutoffs, which we are facing now, which is a major problem in the inner city.
Can you describe the situation in South Africa, like, just in terms of poverty and homelessness and
Gentrification, if they're trying to modernize affordable housing areas and put in upscale things that people can't afford anymore?
No, actually, the situation is worse now, because what is happening in the inner city now, they're trying to upgrade the buildings. They say it's an upper-class city whereby people cannot afford the rentals that they are imposing on the people, because a lot of people are unemployed. And so it's a major problem at this stage, because there is nothing that is going to happen which will help the people, actually, in the inner city.
And
so
what
is it? Upgrading the evicting people, upgrading the buildings, and the putting more rentals on them, which people cannot afford.
And how is your group helping to stop this problem?
Sorry?
How is your group helping the people who are getting evicted to stay in their housing? Specifically, what are you guys doing to help this very bad problem in South Africa?
Actually, in this moment, what we do, because we've got nobody like in the law that is helping us. People don't have money. The lawyers are charging a lot of fees to contest those orders, eviction orders in the high court. So what we normally confront the managing agencies who are the ones who are the cause of the evictions because of the huge areas of electricity and water bills, which they don't pay to the council.
Right.
So what we normally do, we go up to it, speak to them, and then help the people, encourage the people to upgrade their own buildings with their money,
wow.
and go and speak to them about the water and electricity areas, which people have got to pop out from their own pockets to pay. But at the end of the day, because they know people cannot do that, they eventually evict people, but nearly fight against that at the end of the day.
So what I'm hearing is that you're saying that water and electricity have been privatized to the point that people can't afford to pay that and their rent? And so what are you exactly asking people to do? You're saying to upgrade their homes with their own money? Is that possible? Do people
yes.
have the finances for this?
Actually, what is happening, they normally send a Section 12 to say the building is dilapidated to the people.
Okay.
And the people have got to upgrade the building, water pipes and so forth. So people have got to dip out from their pockets to upgrade those buildings at the end of the day in order for them to stay. So
okay.
if they can't upgrade the buildings, it's a problem because at the end of the day, they've got to be evicted because they say that it's dilapidated and it's a health hazard.
Right.
So the problem that the health hazard to the people is the water cutoff because there's no... So it's another strategy that they are using in order to evict people from the inner city. Currently say, if you are earning less than 3 months, you are not allowed to stay in the inner city. So it's a really major problem at this moment.
It's a pretty universal problem. I mean, I've been going to China lately, and the Olympics are coming, and they're just tearing down what's called the hutongs. And they're putting in Kentucky Fried Chickens and Pizza Huts. I've seen it, like, firsthand. And the people that were living there are generation families of generations living in the inner city, living in a healthy environment. And they're moved out to what's called, like, the Fifth Ring Road, which is, like, 15 miles from city center of Beijing. And so it just creates this cycle. Now, if these people want to continue living in a way, they've been living in the inner city, buying food from markets, riding their bicycles, living almost like a sustainable existence.
Right.
Now they're going to have to like buy cars, and you can't even drive. It's so polluted and so congested with traffic.
Right.
Like just moving people out to the suburbs and condoizing for the rich, the inner cities is like going to kill the city, and as a result, is going to really affect the societies that we live in. A city when it's universally lived in by different classes of people, the poor and the rich, it keeps the city healthy. It's
right.
like a living organism, and
yeah.
and it's healthy. The rich eat the poor. They also eat themselves. They're eating the earth. They're eating everything. They're pigs, and they can't control it because it's a disease, and it's an insatiable appetite that can't be sustained. And the city is a very good example of seeing people. Like Montreal is a classic example of a city where only a few years ago there were very few people who had cars. It was like an enjoyable city. You know, you walked around. There were cafes. There was like festivals on the street. It was not like Toronto or like, Los Angeles. And we have to be really careful.
Sounds like you're describing intense fragmentation. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think, Martin says that he's going to do shit about the cities. Well, he better really wake up and not just make the city infrastructure rich again so that they can start gating the cities like they do in the United States. Canada has a really universal, important role, and that's to balance off the United States and show that there's first world, North America first world options that are not American, that are not just built on greed and commerce.
Right on. So we're talking right now, if you're just tuning in, to Positive Initiatives, the last hour of the Homelessness Marathon. And hopefully we'll be speaking with soon. We're running out of time here. But a man named Harold, who is in Austria right now and has helped put together the first annual, which will be the second will be this year, of the Homelessness World Cup Soccer Tournament, And what this tournament seeks to do is effectively give homeless people dignity and allow them to play soccer on an international level, meet each other, and hopefully go on from there. Let's see if we have Harold on the phone. Harold?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who is this? Hello, can you hear us? Who is this?
Hello, this is Sharif.
South Africa.
Oh, South Africa? Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you're still with us.
Yes. We're looking for more callers here because we have a very chock-full panel right now and we're having trouble getting through to the people that we need to.
Ouais, on vient de parler avec Sherza qui était en fait quelqu'un de l'Afrique du Sud avec un programme très intéressant, un groupe qui essaie en fait d'éliminer les évictions qui sont faites un peu partout dans les grandes villes. Je crois que c'est à Johannesburg en particulier où les gens se font très facilement évicter de leurs endroits pour éviter. Un peu comme ici où ça se transforme en condo très rapidement et la gentrification s'installe. Et ce qui est intéressant là-bas, en fait, ce qui est très pas intéressant là-bas, c'est que les gens reçoivent des avis où ils doivent eux-mêmes réparer en fait leur maison en décrépitude et que s'ils le font pas, ben ils vont se faire jeter en dehors de la maison. Alors c'est très troublant de voir qu'il y a des gens qui doivent absolument débourser de l'argent eux-mêmes pour pouvoir réparer la tuyauterie, le toit, toutes ces choses-là qui fonctionnent pas parce qu'un propriétaire fait pas son travail, en fait fait pas ce qu'il devrait faire, et par la suite eux se font mettre dehors. Et donc ce que ce groupement-là essaie de faire, c'est justement d'éliminer toutes ces affaires-là, toutes ces évictions-là qui ont lieu, qui devraient pas avoir lieu, en aidant les gens à comprendre comment ils peuvent faire en sorte que la dilapidation de l'établissement soit pas considérée comme c'était leur faute. Alors, c'est très intéressant. On essaie aussi de rejoindre Harald, qui est en fait à Graz, en Autriche, pour le premier tournoi de soccer des sans-abri, qui était une initiative de l'INSP, qui est le International Network of Street Papers, dont l'itinéraire fait partie aussi. Et c'est très intéressant parce que ça permet à des personnes itinérantes, en fait, de partout dans le monde, d'avoir une équipe de soccer et de pouvoir, en fait, participer à un tournoi mondial. Donc, il y avait des gens un peu partout du monde qui allaient à Graz. Et finalement, c'est l'Autriche qui était l'autre qui a gagné. Alors, on essaie de rejoindre Harald.
All right, it sounds like we have someone on the line here. Can you hear us?
Yes.
And who is this?
Hello?
Hello? Is this Melissa?
This is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Melissa. Good to hear from you.
How are you?
Awesome.
Good. How are you doing?
You guys must be tired.
Yeah, and it's a little chilly outside.
My toes are numb. I don't know.
My fingers are numb. Yeah. So we were talking about positive initiatives of people doing innovative things around the world, and we'd like to know what you're doing.
I'm an artist who specialize in reinventing Jewish rituals to make them contemporary and pertinent to today's social ills. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Passover Seder, but in the line of there's a line in the Seder which goes something like this: "Let all who are hungry enter and eat." And I took that as a mandate to open the Passover Seder, which is a holiday about emancipation from slavery and oppression, to open the Seder up to the homeless and let all who are hungry come in and eat on at a public art Seder that I staged on 42nd Street in New York,
New York City,
about 2 years ago.
Right.
And so the Seder that I staged was sponsored by Manischewitz, and they provided us with 200 bowls of chicken soup, and so there was a matzo ball soup kitchen for the homeless. And what I wanted to do was really bring this idea to the street and get it out of the private confines of the home where most Seders happen.
That's excellent. And have you had any fortune in doing this more than once? Or
I can hardly hear you.
Okay. Have you had any luck in doing this more than once, or have you only done it this one time?
I did it in 2002 in New York, and I'm thinking of doing it again. It's a huge undertaking.
Oh, understandable.
It's public art, and you have to raise a lot of money to do so. But what's happened as a spinoff from that event in 2002 is that I've made a documentary out of it, and I show it at different schools and lecture about it in university settings, and talk about how artists can be activists. And I also relationship with the Jewish Museum in New York, and they actually acquired one of the video sculptures that I made that talks about being about hospitality and being open to the other. And that video sculpture is now on display at the Jewish Museum on Fifth Avenue, which is kind of ironic given that the piece was made to talk about homelessness, and now this video sculpture has like one of the best homes in the world on Fifth Avenue. But I guess the good part of that is that now people can come to the museum and see the sculpture and think and meditate upon the idea of how art can be utilized in the service of social action.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Melissa. Okay. I hope other people are inspired by your work, because we certainly are.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hopefully we have Harold on the line from Austria. Harold, are you with us?
Yes, I'm still here. Hello.
Yes, Harold. Woo! Austria calling.
Cheers for Harold.
Gola, 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 gola.
Hi, Montreal.
Hey. Good afternoon. It's good morning here for us in a chilly morning.
Is it like 6 o'clock in the morning there?
Yeah, it's about 6:45.
It's okay. Now daylight.
Yes.
Great.
Finally, we're out of the darkness.
So we'd like to learn more about the exciting initiative that you've helped put together. So if you could tell us about it.
Yeah, we are working for the International Network of Street Paper, and we are having an annual conference. And at one of our last conferences, which was in Cape Town in South Africa, we thought about new ways of getting homeless people into society, and we thought about methods, and we found out that one of the most important things to get ahead from our perspective was that you could be having a chance to travel and to meet other people and to make friends with other cultures and to get something we can call self-distance. Then we thought about what could be a way of doing this to get homeless people together. And, you know, the International Network of Street Papers is an organization that combines 55 street papers from 42 countries all around the world. So we are always used to work with homeless people from a day-to-day basis. And we have realized that it is very helpful if homeless people can travel to another country.
Yeah.
Because there had been some experiences like vendor exchanges between Scotland and Russia and Holland and Germany and so on, and we wanted to improve that.
That's right.
We thought about what could be a way to make this on a global basis. And after a while, the name was dropped. Let's create a sports event. Let's create the Homeless World Cup, which is a World Cup, a world football soccer championship for homeless people. And it took us about 2 years to prepare that, and it was set up the first time last year in July in Graz, Austria.
Wow,
we had 18 teams there from 18 countries, and it was really a very, very big success, and it was decided that this should continue, and so this is why we are working now on setting up the next Homeless World Cup and set up programs and initiatives to get the homeless players into schemes and sports programs besides and attached to the street papers.
That's rad, Harold. So,
can you
Hello? I can hardly hear you now.
Okay, can you tell us about some of the the results of the participants who have... I read on your website that the goal is to only have people participate once. Can you explain this philosophy?
Okay, I will hand this question over to Bernhard Wolf, my colleague. He has done a research about the players. And he's sitting right next to me. Hold on, Bernhard is going to tell you about that.
Thank you. Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Bernhard.
Hey.
Okay, I can hardly hear, but now it's working.
Do you want to repeat the question? So, it was just...
No, I've actually heard it. So you want to hear more about the impact of the Homeless World Cup on the players?
Right
on.
Teams,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can give you some figures, because what one of our main principles is that the Homeless World Cup is of course not only about playing football, but it's about giving an initiative and impulse in the life of the players and to raise the issue of homelessness.
Right.
So
one
of the main principles is, of course, that the player should only take one part in the Homeless World Cup and never again, because this would then probably mean that he has made progress in his life and moved on to more stable social relations and more stable housing situations. So I can give you some figures on the 141 participating players in last year's World Cup, what they're doing now. We can roughly say that like a third of them has now got a regular job. About 9% actually work now as coaches or players, have contracts with semi-professional football clubs. About one-third has moved on in their lives by taking education courses, by having achieved stable housing situations, or by various drug dependencies being addressed. And about one-third have a more or less same living situation as before, which means that they are mostly working as street paper vendors for one of the projects in their countries.
Great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us. This is a very exciting initiative that I hope more and more teams can participate, more and more people can grow, and stopping homelessness as a result of it. So thank you for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
I can really hardly hear you now.
Okay, sorry. Well, we're going to have to actually move on to more callers, because we have a few more people to talk to before the hour is over.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. If you just joined us, we're in the last hour and the last few minutes of CKUT's second annual homelessness marathon in Canada. If you'd like to call in and talk, our number is 1-866-763-4136. We have a few people left that we'd like to talk to and talk about their positive initiatives. And Becky, would you like to speak about some of them?
Sure. Who do we have on the line? Anyone on the line right now?
I think Debbie, Linda, and Anna are going to be lined up.
Excellent. Okay. So just being an Edmontonian, I will put a plug in for Anna. She is she started up the Out of the Cold Emergency Shelter in Edmonton to address the growing population of youth on the street. And Anna, did you want to step in here?
I don't know if she's on the phone yet.
Okay, well,
is
she will be joining
us.
So if you'd, actually, it has to do with a coalition of churches in the area who were banding together to open their doors during the winter and serve hot food and provide a warm place. A Band-Aid solution, but nonetheless a warm one. And Not In My Backyard Syndrome springs up with petitions and legal battles to try to shut down the emergency shelter. And Anne's going to talk to us about how this positive initiative ended up with a happy ending. So hopefully she will come on later.
And do we have any callers yet? We're trying to get in touch with Debbie Hilton and Linda Chamberlain.
If you're listening in, it's the number to call in is 1-866-763-4136, and you're totally welcome to call in.
The activism around the food artists reminded me of something that happens annually here in Montreal called Le Boeuf, where people get together on a surprise day. It's not well advertised for obvious reasons, and we march to one of the illustrious hotels, the Queen Elizabeth, the Carlton Ritz, or whatever. Unannounced, we walk in and we take all the food out of the buffet and put it on the street and let the people eat it. And, you know, sometimes these direct action things are really the important way to actually get some media and really advertise that there's a problem. You can't really do this stuff through corporations and through a lot of the times through official sponsorship, because it's part of the problem and you have to work really at a grassroots level. And that's where street activism and artists and these kinds of activities are really important.
Right on. Working against the main flow.
Well, yeah, obviously. If you're homeless, you're not part of the main flow. There's a problem with the main flow when you're homeless, and you have to fight against it.
Absolutely.
And it's great to know that there are more positive initiatives out there that you can take. They can range from anything from a World Cup of homeless players that, you know, is a very innovative solution to creating documentaries, and to just basically helping out with your local community, to becoming more active and more aware as to the problems of homelessness. Because even if you live in a small town in the middle of nowhere, there are homeless people in your town. It might not be talked about, but especially in cities, hopefully you're not numb to walking around and seeing people, you know, destitute and needing help. So the more active, the more aware you become, the better off it is. And if people blame government for not doing anything, well, that's obvious, but we're the people that vote for them. So the more that we talk about it, the more it becomes one of our top priorities, the more they will change in order to get our votes.
And, I mean, working outside the government is, you know, another way. This is only a small drop in the bucket of positive initiatives. And for the future, more positive initiatives will continue to spring up until revolution happens. So the coming revolution is going to be all about positive initiatives, all about good vibes, and all about empowerment. So get ready for it, because the revolution is upon us.
Very nice, Becky. Well, hopefully we have two more callers we're hoping to talk to before the hour's over, which is fast approaching. So do we have Debbie or Linda on the phone?
Hello, yes, it's Debbie Hilton.
Hello, Debbie. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. Let me just put you on hold while I just go into a quieter area. Hang on a minute.
All right, no problem.
No problem. Yeah, we can put you on hold in a quieter area because we're on the street.
Yeah, we'd like to be in a quieter area.
This is a loud area.
And a little warmer area, maybe.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi,
Debbie. Oh, that's lovely. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you sound lovely.
Hi, and I'm here as well. It's Anne Lee in Edmonton.
Oh, great.
Hello.
All right. Hi. If each of you could, since we're running short on time, if each of you could give a brief summary of the positive initiative that you're involved with and what some of the good results have been because of it. So I guess, Debbie, we'll start with you.
Okay, yes. It's Debbie Hilton. I'm the Director of Projects at Crisis in the UK, and we're based in London. And as a homelessness charity, we've done a huge amount of work working with not only rough sleepers, but of course people that are trapped in sort of temporary forms of accommodation. Hello?
Hello, yes, keep going.
And we've had some amazing successes with things like we've got an activity centre here in London so that people that have just come off the streets or are trapped in that temporary accommodation can actually spend their days doing really exciting things, whether it's in the art room or doing karate or doing bike repair, to try and build up self-esteem and confidence, because that's a really big part of the homelessness thing.
That's very, very true. And Anna, do you also have similar projects, or how does your project differ from Debbie's?
Well, our project involves just one area of Edmonton, where 10 churches of different denominations have cooperated to form a nonprofit society called Out of the Cold. And we operate an emergency overnight winter shelter hosted in four different churches in succession, with people able to spend the night in a warm, safe place. And we also feed them soup at night and porridge in the morning. And we've been open now for almost 7 weeks. This is our second year of operation, and it's going very well, filling a need where there was no shelter of any sort in this section of the city.
It's incredible, really, when you think about it. Edmonton's a pretty sizable city, too.
That's right.
So from what I understand, it seems that your initiative is more or less for the real immediate results that we need, that if people are very much in trouble, it's very immediate. The results are right away. You give people a warm place to stay, a warm place to sleep. And it sounds like Debbie is, their organization is doing more or less trying to do long-term goals as well, trying to build up people's dignity and self-esteem in order to get them out of the homeless situation.
Yeah, absolutely. There are lots of organizations here in Britain that their business is to do night shelters and to take people off the streets and to give them that sort of warmth and shelter and food. And that's not what we're in. We're trying to actually upskill people, if you like, and give them more opportunities to actually do more with their lives in the daytime, because it's a major problem here in Britain. You know, people are just out on the streets. They just don't know what to do with themselves. And we're also moving away from that sort of, if you like, the day centre ethos where people sit around very often watching television. That's not what we're about. It's about people doing stuff all day, every day. And it is really very exciting. It's the first centre of its kind. And it's in a fabulous setting, which is the other thing. You know, it's a beautiful building. So we're really proud of it.
Well, that sounds great. There is a group here that is beginning to work towards a longer-term solution. And there is a building that we're looking at trying to purchase that would make excellent transitional housing.
Ooh.
and do some long-term things, because we realize that an overnight shelter is just a Band-Aid on a huge gaping wound.
Absolutely, but it's a start.
It's a start, that's right.
Indeed. Well, if you keep in touch with us, you can see how our project grows here.
Great.
And it's new for the sector. I mean, it's about working together, and this is the contribution that we make. And it is so exciting, mm-hmm. and to see people waiting to come in when we open next door, and they spend each and every day here. It's just fantastic. Mm-hmm.
What a great idea.
Hey, so exciting.
And could you just tell us about the whole legal battle that you just come out of?